Good evening, guys. Thank you so much for coming out. Can I please have a round of applause to thank our sponsors? Noe Valley Bakery kindly donated the cookies and brownies. And Sasha as well, delicious food. Did you all have a chance to have the food? Okay, super. What's that? And the martinis. I should thank Blue Martini, our vodka sponsor. And really, what more appropriate to have a vodka sponsor for a cartoonist and comedian? Not Flax Art, not the De Young, not the Council on Arts, but vodka. What says comedy? Yeah, that's someone who knows, and, that's our guy, vodka. Some kind of liquor. He's a comedian. He's going to want vodka. I am actually... I'm proud and I'm actually astonished to be wedged between the Brain Health Symposium on Wednesday and tomorrow the Global Poverty Hopes and Challenges of the New Millennium. I'm right between them. I couldn't have been any worse if I'm in between like Mario Cuomo and, something else that's, this really is a treat to be here. Is it me or did anyone see the bookshelf there? Did you feel if you found the right novel and you pulled it back like... there'd be like a creaky door that would open. Did anyone try to? I thought Herman Wouk was my first choice. Like, that'll do it. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Selfishly, there's a lot of stuff that I wanted to show tonight. I'm not a very good cook, so I brought a lot of slides that deal with food. Mostly, I think we mock what we don't understand, and food, I don't understand. I never have. But I brought a lot of slides. I hope you enjoy it. Has anyone gone to Porchlight, Beth Lissick's show Porchlight? It's a storytelling series. You're aware that there's a word for porch light storytelling. Anyway, I did it once, and I was told not to do my material, to just be honest, tell the story and be honest. And it was so much fun for me to do that and to get away from the typical material, which is largely fiction. Stand-up is always fiction. So I thought I would just stick to the facts, which oftentimes are funny. I also included, when it comes to food, anything that's ingested or inhaled, I wanted to just make, because it broadens the, really broadens the whole experience. So let's take a look at what I have here, sir. This is tonight's show, folks. Gratuitous self-promotion, 18%. Questionable judgment, 15%. Stalling, roughly 18%. Bluffing, 80%. Shameful name-dropping, you'll see that later, 20. Poor math, about 18%. And the educational components of tonight's show come to roughly zero. So if you've been to the Commonwealth Club before, you know that you're normally going to have a really interesting and educational time. This will simply be amusing, and then you'll leave. At best, it'll be amusing, and you leave. Not early, I might add. You wouldn't leave early. You would just come here to enjoy it. This is something I did in 11th grade. I just want to get it out of the way. It has nothing to do with food, but this pretty much is, in a nutshell, my experience in high school. I did a report on the Battle of Little Bighorn. Mr. Hubscher felt the need... Why? Is this necessary? Why the humor? And yes, it is necessary, frankly. We've got them now. And this was actually the second version. The other one was even bloodier. We're like, the savages are on the run. And the guy, his head was knocked off or something. So this pretty much is the experience that I had as a kid. Breakfast. I thought I was going to, walk you through breakfast, lunch, and dinner. My parents are both educators. My mom is the child of a dentist. She would not let us have sugar cereals. It just was the forbidden fruit. I would see these commercials with kids having fun and they're running around. I'm cooking for Cocoa Puffs. And I never had these things. Dig 'em smacks, give me a smack. They were not anywhere to be found. Like, you could have Raisin Bran. The raisins are sweet. I'm like, oh. So my favorite thing, any chance of a sleepover, I didn't care how awful the kid was. Odds are they would have sugar cereals. And I remember my friend Danny Edelman's house had nothing but sugar cereals. And I just couldn't get enough. It was... I think it was one of the first lies I ever told where Mrs. Edelman said, does your mom let you have Cocoa Puffs? We have nothing but Cocoa Puffs. And it was just like this, a whole new, and it was the first time, I never even knew about Whoppers. She had in the refrigerator a carton, like the way you have milk. It was Whoppers. And I just like, what's that? She's like, oh, Whoppers. And I'm like, ah. And we, they were passing them around. It was like, ah. To this day, I don't drink soda. I don't like it. But we had, I would have milk. I would be the kid at a party like, can I have milk? That was it. Are you sure you want milk? That's all I really want is milk. But when it came to candy, it was just a whole new thing to have Whoppers. It was incredible for me. But I think largely because she grew up with no sugar. It was like a firm no. That was it, no sugar. So breakfast, I made a note about this. Okay. My first cartoon strip in college. Can you guys see? I'm sorry there's a podium in the way. I'm sorry. Yeah, so I didn't grow up in Ithaca, New York. I grew up in New Rochelle, New York. I went to Ithaca College. My very first week of Ithaca, I asked to, can I have a cartoon in the paper? And like, okay. And so, Silly Rabbit, tricks are for hookers. That was my strip. I think it was called Cap's Corner. I want to tell you something about the strip, which I thought was very funny. When I went to college, I was a really good kid. I didn't drink. Nothing. I was a good kid. And for fall break, I caught a ride home with this kid, Andy, who lived in New Rochelle. He was the boyfriend of somebody I went to high school with. Andy picked up another friend of his, this guy who looked like a Viking. And I was in the back seat, and we get on the highway to go from Ithaca, New York, but down to Westchester, about a four-hour drive. I don't think they'd left the parking lot of the college before Andy gets out pot and a lighter and starts rolling a joint with one hand, driving with his foot. And I was losing my mind because I'd seen all those movies just, you know, like a year earlier in high school. Like, I'm going to die. So this is how it ends. So this is how I die. And I was losing my mind. They're passing it back and forth. And then this Viking friend, I forget his name, he goes, dude, I got to show you something. It was so fucking funny. And he gets the paper out of his backpack, and he shows my cartoon. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, my God. Wow. You know, but there's also like, oh, God, we're going to die. You know, please keep your eye on the wheel. And then there's Andy turns around from the wheel like, Mike, you got to see. You sure you don't want any? I'm like, oh, the cartoon. Like, God, this is very funny. I'm going to keep an eye out for his stuff. You know, they made no connection between my name and the strip. And then it was just the weirdest. You know, I'm going to die. And then, oh, my God, I'm in the paper. And they love it. It was a very interesting first week of college or first month. I redrew this, but it's the death of Snap, Crackle, and Pop. We have Snap, Crackle, and Pop. The artwork back then was pretty poor, but a friend of mine saw it and wanted it as a tattoo on his back, so I redrew it for him. He wanted so he's got. There's a guy I know. He's a welder. He has this on his back, and I'm not kidding. Lunch. I skipped the traditional lunch experience. I lived about 5 or 6 minutes from the elementary school where I went to school, and I, instead of being in this, you know, trading bologna for Fritos or whatever. Apparently things went on that you would swap. Am I right? You're nodding your head. They're like, I've got a cupcake. I've got a Twinkie. And they would, you know, trade a note from the mom. Like, I'm very proud of you. And they'd trade notes from the moms or something. I don't know what went on. I wasn't there. I walked the 6 minutes home to my house to eat at, you know, to eat by myself or with my brother who was a year younger than me. I had a ritual. And don't judge. I would pretend I was my favorite superhero, Green Lantern. I would leave the school and in my mind get into costume, and I have adventures on the way home for the 6 minutes, you know, walking home and, you know, vanquishing bad guys and aliens with the magic ring. And then when I got to the house, my brother and I had a record from a teacher who'd given it to us. It was the recording of the first moon landing, and it starts with JFK's wonderful speech about putting a man on the moon. And it goes all the way up, you know, like engine running and all the actual mission control chatter. We would play it and read our souvenir program from the Kennedy Space Center, and we made peanut butter and jelly. That was second, third, fourth, fifth grade. That was a ritual that endured for 4 years straight. Same program, you know, at the Kennedy Space Center, you can see spacesuits, you know. And that was what we did for 4 years. So I missed out on all that team player stuff, I think, where you would trade sandwiches. One thing I drew back then, I don't know what year this was, but I was in love with astronauts and superheroes. So somehow my mom kept this. Andy the Astronaut and the Whodunit Mercury Atlas Explosion. So you've got astronauts, a murder mystery, Superman for some reason has lost his powers and he's on a crane. Having changed below, obviously like, can you give me a lift? And he's rescuing Andy the Astronaut. I don't know more than this. I don't remember any of it. I know I drew it. Got the NASA logo right, largely. But yeah, this was one of the earliest surviving works of the artist. Dinner. As I mentioned, both my parents were teachers. So this was kind of a ritual that would happen. I don't say this proudly. It's more like an ADD thing. And until I got into stand-up comedy, I had a very hard time keeping still in class. It was, even through college, it was like, It was really a problem. Because my parents are both teachers, they were friends with all of my teachers, which meant if the phone rang, you know, and don't forget, I mean, we remember when nobody would call between like 5:30 and 7. If the phone rang, they were like, oh, did we call you during dinner? I'm so sorry. And they called back. You might not even known who called. It was so quick. Like, oh, like that. When the phone rang, I would just kind of, oh, no, oh, no, oh, God. And it generally would happen like this. I was sitting here. My mom was right there by the phone, my brother Steve and my dad. And then the phone would ring, and my mom would go, hello? Oh, hi, Phyllis. That was fun playing tennis. He did? Again? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And my dad, what did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? That was every week. There was something if the phone rang. The one time it didn't happen that way was when my seventh grade teacher, Mrs. Evans, called and my mom was like, hello? Yes, he is. Comes over to me and Mrs. Evans says, next time I'll talk to your mom about your behavior. I'm like, okay. Okay. I understand. Like, oh, what was that, Michael? Oh, good job on a project. I did a good job on a project. She wanted to call and thank me for the project that I did. It was a good job. That's what the phone call was about. So that was seven. That was the one time I slipped the noose on that. The worst possible thing happened in, I think, 10th grade. So this is pretty much what the suburbs look like in New Rochelle, Jersey, whatever. You know, chirp, chirp. You know, everybody's having dinner. My dad, who at the time was a principal by that point at Mount Vernon High School, finds in the driveway a big bag of pot and comes into the house screaming and yelling, absolutely horrified. And really, you know, I had poor grades, very poor, not very poor. You know, I rocked K through 6 and then onward it became a little hard. So basically, this is what he knew. My hobbies included listening to records a lot, trading bootlegs with my friends of concerts, reading comic books and drawing them, and drawing crazy posters for my friends' bands. I redrew this. This is not a poster for this is like an amalgam of everything I remember doing. My buddy Jeff had a band called Impact. I met him in detention. I was drawing the Teen Titans, and Jeff goes, "Wow, you can really draw. Do you want to do posters for my band?" "Yeah, yeah, I'll do it." And just, what do you want me to draw? Like, whatever you want. And doesn't this look like you captured something out of like a Thomas Dolby video circa 1983 and like those tracks that end in puddles and a woman's leg is ZZ Top-ish? You know, so I put everything in the world that doesn't belong in a field. Of course, it's free, by the way. You know, in the cafeteria, like, hey, it's free. So my dad, you know, put concerts, bootlegs, records, crazy drawings, poor grades. Oh, my God, he's on drugs! So my mom's in the living room crying, and my brother goes out with a flashlight, and while he's outside with a flashlight trying to figure out the crime, my dad and I are having a discussion. He's like, and he honestly does this. He's a principal, so I don't know if you saw this on TV, but he takes the pot and puts the way you would do. You've seen detectives do it with coke, you know, where they go like this. It's good shit. Like that. Does that with the pot. I don't know why. I didn't know until today that was the wrong thing. You don't do that with. Frankly, it's a waste of good pot. Are we, you know? But also, nothing will tell you, like, yeah, that's a weed of some kind. But my dad goes, that's good shit. And then he, oh my God, you're dealing drugs. I'm like, right, Dad, I'm failing math and I'm dealing drugs. I'm making a healthy profit in the business of math, or drugs and failing math. My brother, in the meantime, has gone outside with a flashlight. I remember it was like November or something like that. And he finds the evidence that closes this whole case. I worked in a video store after school, and I traded bootlegs with this oaf named Dave. He dropped out of high school. He was about 800 pounds, drove a Trans Am, had like this mustache that you see on a pizza box. And we traded Led Zeppelin bootlegs. And then apparently when he put them in my mailbox, he dropped the dope getting out of his Trans Am with the fire on the sides, you know. And so Stephen comes in with the tapes, like, found Led Zeppelin tapes in the mailbox. And I go, Dave! And I had a wise-ass friend, my friend David Dork, and he was a musician. And my dad, like, of course, it makes perfect sense. Dave, your little wise guy buddy. My dad hated Dave. Dave didn't take any grief from my dad. So it was like, it makes perfect sense. I'm like, no. It's not that Dave. It's the guy I trade bootleg tapes with up the street, the dropout with the 800 pound in the car. I called Dave, and I go, Dave, did you drop anything at my house? Like, oh, you've got my pot. Thank God. And my dad didn't want to be party to a drug transaction, so he refused to hand it off. I had to like bury it under a pine cone in the front yard. And Dave got his pot back, and he's like, these guys are going to break my legs. Thank God you found it. You know, and that, so I got off the hook. But my dad was just like one phone call away from like, you're going to go into rehab? You're going to go into the military? You know, that was it. He was a tough guy. So that was the typical family dinner. This was like the worst of it all. The best part was the phone calls were like, Michael did what? Blah, 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 blah. Thank you for calling, Phyllis. You know, that was the best I could hope for. Yeah, here he is. You're addicted to drugs. Speaking of drugs, I want to say I saw a documentary on the Rolling Stones. They're one of my favorite things. Do we have Stones fans in the crowd? People who – yeah. I watched a documentary called 25 by 5. It was by Lorne Michaels. It's wonderful. And one of the clips, they have Mick Jagger and Robert Fraser, who were busted in 1967 at Keith Richards' house, Redlands. It shows them getting a catered meal at Wormwood Scrubs Prison. Does anybody remember that? They got a catered meal. And rather than read in a British accent what it sounds like, I wanted to bring a real British voice to the stage. Please welcome my friend, Mr. Stephen Munger. So come here, Steve. This is what the BBC broadcast sounded like. This, if you can picture Jagger and Robert Fraser, the art dealer, in Wormwood Scrubs Prison receiving a catered meal, it would sound... Wait, not we're not doing that part. It's right there. Oh, you got it already. Go ahead.
There goes lunch for Fraser and Jagger in the cells. Prawn cocktail, roast lamb with mint sauce, fresh strawberries and cream. 21 and 6 for Jagger. Iced melons, salmon salad, fresh fruit, strawberries and cream. 22 and 6 for Fraser. And a half bottle of Beaujolais at 10 bob a head for each.
Thank you. Steve, actually, would you come back for a sec? I don't like to cook. And, you know, for me, the definition of from scratch is relative. Like, if I were to cut open a box of, pre-made cookie dough and slice it up and put it individually on the tray, it's the same effort as somebody who does it all literally from the very beginning with mixing the egg and whatever else is in there. So this is basically when you do it. This is what it sounds like to me. Steve will read the ingredient part, and I will read what it sounds like to me. Go ahead, Steve.
Mix the cheese, pumpkin, half a teaspoon of salt, and the nutmeg. Set filling aside. Mix the flour and half a teaspoon of salt in a large bowl. Make a well in the center of the flour.
Start by disconnecting the wires that connect the detonator to the battery or trigger timer. You can distinguish the timer because it will be counting down. A battery will look like a battery. No highly evolved science involved, but be careful when doing this step. If the bomb is booby-trapped, it's likely that the trap involves one of the materials discussed in this step.
Beat the tomato paste, oil, and eggs until well blended, and pour into the well in the flour. Stir with a fork. Gradually bring the flour mixture to the center of the bowl until the dough makes a ball. If the dough is too dry, mix in up to 2 tablespoons of water.
Remove the neutron trigger of the bomb. This will either be a small ball or a disc made of some highly radioactive material. This is the part that initiates the explosion. It would be a good idea to have on a hazmat suit or gloves, if you have any.
Knead lightly on a flour cloth-covered surface, adding flour if dough is sticky, until smooth and elastic, about 5 minutes. Cover and let rest for another 5 minutes. Divide the dough into 4 equal parts. Roll the dough, 1 part at a time, into a rectangle about 12 by 10 inches. Keep the rest of the dough covered while working.
This will be the last paragraph, because I can tell when the joke has hit its nadir. Remove the conventional explosion from the bomb. This is the first part of the bomb that explodes if the bomb detonates. If the conventional explosion was created by the government, it's probably safe to handle. If the device was improvised, however, it could be highly unstable, move steady, and slow. Thank you, Steve. The gratuitous self-promotion can also include to my friend Stephen, who's a saxophonist. Are there any other shows coming up for your band, the Jethro Jeremiah Band? Santa Cruz, can you be any more vague? Do you? That's fantastic. Okay, it's JethroJeremiah.com, and you can. It's September 19th. They're a wonderful reggae band, and Steve is a phenomenal sax player. And yes, that is his real voice. I didn't find my friend who could approximate a British accent. He's really a British man. On the subject of Brits, I want to ask you this. If you've seen British kids and you're a Pink Floyd fan, if let's say you're walking through like Noe Valley or something and you hear somebody with a British voice, do you want to ask the kid to say, "Look, Mommy, there's an aeroplane up in the sky." Do you? I hear a kid talking that way. I'm like, "Can you please just say the line, there's an aeroplane up in the sky?" By a show of hands, how many people got that joke? Oh, good. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming. Obviously, you're in from another country, if you got that. Bay Area Cannabis Clubs. On the subject of drugs, I mentioned that we would have, ingested to fill the description of drugs. I got a big kick out of the excuses that people have when they'll say, like, "I've got a pot club card." And then I'll be like, why? What's wrong? What in the world did you tell the physician to get a pot club card? So here's a survey of what I've heard. "My mail is delivered at a different time each day, sometimes at noon, sometimes at 4. The uncertainty is giving me anxiety." That's fair. I don't know who they're turning away. I'm going to have to do the voice because this is based in real life. "I lived with a comedian. He'd always make jokes. It was very endless, very stressful, more than a person is meant to endure. The memories haunt me to this day. I know. Actually, I live, and she shall remain nameless for the sake of any litigation here, but she also said she beat a jury duty, you know, like, what are you doing home? She's like, I told the judge that I lived with a comedian, and he said I'd suffered enough, and he let me off on a hardship, and when I told him, the court reporter gasped, too. Okay, thank you. That's very funny. Thank you. I get it. That's great. You got off because I'm a comedian. That's great. Here's the other guy. I take 3 muni buses to my day job at a retail clothing chain where they play the same dozen pre-approved songs on a loop. It's affecting my complexion. Doesn't matter if you're 15 and you work at the Gap. Look, you can get a pot club card. All right, here are the food cartoons, folks. We may want to dim the lights and throw on the spotlight at this point. This would be a good time because it's largely going to be a slideshow from here. Hey, thanks for doing that, guys. This is Yoga for Drinkers. I'm going to read some of the punchlines because some of you, sadly, are blocked over there. This is Lagarasana, Martiniasana, and Dakariasana. Say namaste to another Shimei. I confer upon you the status of most flavored ration. I figured that would work at the Commonwealth Club. Thank you so much for that applause break, your applause break there, that one in particular. Your what is Zagat rated? Now, I didn't realize till later, I was figuring, like, who would be the most pristine pain in the ass? And who does that look like to you? Gwyneth Paltrow. Am I right? Would she be that kind of person? Like, if you must know. Pss, 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 pss. Yeah. So I thought Gwyneth Paltrow would be someone who would say something that you'd be left asking. Here we go. All the 16-ounce peanut butter mood with the whey protein super boost blended counterclockwise. Got it? So he's at Jamba Juice. If you haven't been to Jamba Juice, they make very delicious smoothies. And I just thought it would be so funny to put Sean Connery as James Bond in there smoking. I've read all the Ian Fleming books. I love his books. So it's really a spoof of this where Bond would order drinks, you know, dry martini and blah, 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 blah. So you get the idea. It's just not the shaken and stirred. It was longer than that. And, you know, the way Ian Fleming wrote it. So that was. I just wanted you to know it was a spoof of that. La creme! Boom! These are the bisque separatists. Had I known it was just a show-and-tell thing, I would have started with this stuff. None of like, I'll bring my British friend to talk for a while. Had I known, I would have started with this and kept going. Thank you, British horn guy. you vanquished stains. Thanks, man of steel wool. True story, I met Noelle Neal at a comic book convention, and I gave her the original art for this. Noelle Neal played Lois Lane on the original series with George Reeves back in the day, and... she's very, very, very sweet, and I gave her the original art for that. And she, anyway, so she's got the original painting. Wonder Bread Woman. Wonder Bread Woman. Your father's lifesavers. He wanted you to have them. I don't know if this was told to me to humor me and make me feel good, but a very good friend worked on the 3rd Star Wars film, and he told me that over his shoulder he heard a very dry chuckling, and it was George Lucas himself laughing at this cartoon, which was pasted to the edit bay. Now, I'd like to believe it's true. I don't know, but it made me feel good to hear that George Lucas saw this and had not seen anything. Nobody had made that Lifesavers joke before, and he remarked apparently that, oh, that's a new one. I haven't seen that. I'm like, oh, my God, George Lucas saw it. How long is the wait for 2 people? We can have them ready for you in 5 minutes. You want to hear something interesting? I tried to get this into the Chronicle. It was rejected, not because it's in poor taste and it vaguely could be misconstrued, I might say, for any kind of gross and misinformed, but because there's a tiny little bit of nipple showing there. They're like, no, there's nipple. You can't have it in the Chronicle. Not the other part about him being a cannibal and eating people and he's, you know, it was a tiny, tiny little bit. Lost cat, calico jerky. Really cute, naps a lot. Calico jerky, a delicious limited edition treat. Call Mike. I'm sorry, that's hard. Did you say? Oh, funny, not horrible. Thank you so much. Because, do you have cats? No. Oh, you do, and you still find it funny? Thank you. They are delicious. Thank you. I'm sorry. I don't understand. Henry wanted to be cremated. True, but he wrote creamed, and the document is binding. Does this stretch limits of good taste or the definition of food? I didn't know when I ran it. Welcome to the winery. There's a $10 cover. What? It's just an alley. It's post-neo-urban chic, dear. The winery. I've been here since 1996, and I always – sometimes, you know, sometimes people would say, if they're trying to introduce me to someone, they're like, now what kind of girls do you like? And in my mind, I didn't really care necessarily what she was all about, but I always wanted the meeting to be magical, and I always thought it would be so fun, like at a health food store where we bump into each other, and it's like a Reese's commercial. And, excuse me, you got your all-natural soy paste peanut butter substitute on my carob. No, you got your carob on my all-natural substitute for peanut butter. Hey, they're two great tastes that taste great together. And then in my perfect world, I'd run into her and I'm like writing in my journal and she'd come by and like, hey, I met you at the health food store. What are you working on? I go, oh, it's just a journal I call my big book of far out San Francisco coincidences. And she goes, oh, God, that's what I call my book. Psst, for an extra $4, I can make it an Irish 2% grande vanilla latte. I ordered a poppy seed bagel with the seeds on the side. What's this? What's this? And I want to thank Danielle Steele for posing for this cartoon. This is a spoof of composting where you leave it. if you don't take out the compost for like 4 days, this is what happens. What is my bidding, my master? Has that happened to anybody where you've left it for, you know, then it starts to 4 days tops. Lord of the Fries, two teams of English schoolboys marooned on an island battle each week over fast food rations. And yes, Steve, I know it would be Battle of the Chips if we really were over there. I know it, but the joke only works when I write, because Lord of the Chips has like nothing at all. One great place to look, let me just say, I used to have you don't even see the cartoon, I guess. Find the size that suits you, leave immediately. This was a collaboration with San Francisco comedian Michael Meehan. He's a good friend of mine. He contributed the premise to this. But my strip is called Surveillance Caricatures. I originally did it for a year and a half under the name Cheap City, and it was all advice for getting by on a budget. A lot of bad advice, but it would save you money and get you jailed. But so let's the rice shortage will mean higher sushi prices. Save money by making your own. So here they are coming out of the tropical. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is one of my favorites. Avoid the steep price of stadium drinks. Build a BYOB baby. And it looks like this, folks. You'll need booze, a baby doll. Doll, not a real baby, okay? Baby doll. Cut it in half. You put the ice in the torso in the lower part. Put your bottle of booze right there. And enjoy. Oh, baby. It works. It works. Do we have any questions? You guys have been such a fun crowd. No, I'm serious. Do we have any questions? We have just a few. I have more cartoons to go, but you guys are just such a fun bunch. You should see the kind of places I've been doing stand-up in my – I've done it for 20 years. You know, to be at the Commonwealth Club, frankly, is one of the coolest you know, I've been here since 1996, and I would jump on any open mic that I ever could. There's stuff in Berkeley at a coffee shop where – you know, they're very tightly wound there. And, like, I'd follow, like, a woman who's like, here's a poem I wrote. It's in reaction to the superstitious military government of Burma who feels that women's undergarments will rob them of their power. And then she'll read, like, 8 pages of that. And then I'll get up there and go, I don't know about you, but I've seen women's undergarments have robbed me of my power, I'll tell you. And they're like, chirp, chirp. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. Chirp, chirp. So it's fun to be at the Commonwealth Club. It's such a treat. Oh, my God. Greening your home can be creative and cost-efficient. The bathroom is just a dirt floor, and we pee behind a tree. And with our new all-liquid diet, there's no solid waste and no more flossing. This is how you can save money on Halloween, folks. Forget buying all that expensive stuff. Just foil wrap the chocolate chips. So you'll need aluminum foil, cut them into 1-inch squares. You'll need 2 pounds of chocolate chips and about 10 to 15 hours of labor. Hey, kids, have you tried Hershey Kiss Bits? They're new. So for the price of a bag, you get a lot of chocolate for the kiddies. It's new Hershey Kiss Bits. This is basically, I was in I was in Kona for work, and a friend of mine very kindly hooked me up with an upgrade, a friend who travels a lot. And he's, oh, you're on United? I'll hook you up. And I flew first class, and one of my other friends who was there and coached, and he's like, you know, I'd said, he said, how was your flight? It was good. What did you have for, what did you guys have to eat? He's like, bologna sandwiches. I'm like, what'd you, abalone. So that was, so yeah. Made all the difference. Abalone, bologna. It lends itself to it. Yeah, it works. Hey, have you tried our new free range organic and fair trade KY marmalade? The Mitini. Folks, I can't stress this enough. When you combine liquor and food together, it's really a low-carb, high-protein cocktail. You'll need gin, a splash of gravy, lamb skewer, and you serve it chilled. It's the Mitini. I came this close to having a buddy of mine who's a chef come by. We'd set up a table and mix all this together, and then I'd say, who wants to try it? And then it'd be like, come on. Would you? No. Would you? Could you? It'd be like 20 minutes. Come on, just try it. Just try the Mitini. And if you think that's gross, folks, you'll need, this is something I call suddenly sangria. You'll need a quart of high C fruit punch, a pint of Jack Daniels, and 2 cups of Fruit Loops. Suddenly sangria. It's really for students. This is something that you could, you know, it's. Last night I dreamt I was able to combine my 3 favorite things, chocolate, peanut butter, and breasts. Reese's peanut butter D cups. I got a rejection. A lot of times I'll do cartoons. I draw very fast, so it's helpful. I'll create cartoons just to send them to my editor, Matt. He's a super nice guy, but he's a pretty, you know, conservative guy. The rejection letter just came back. The email said, do you have anything else? I knew this wasn't going to fly in the paper, but I just wanted to see what he'd write back. How quietly he would soft pedal, how politely. I can't run it this way. Buddy of mine is vegan, which means he's very fun to tease. And I came up with Veganomico, the lonely vegan of Venice. He won't eat veal, not even the mozzarella. Veganomico won't touch shrimp scampi. What's his problem? Veganomico. I'm half Italian. I just thought this was very funny. But obviously, I would have left it out if I could go back in time. Enjoy Shaman Pepper. Vaguely Aborigine, and so there you go. The Little Barmaid. I didn't draw this. This is one of the rare things where it's kind of a steel-o-matic, where I think I captured the beers from like a St. Pauli Girl ad, and then this from, you know where I got it. It shall remain nameless because they're very litigious. So The Little Barmaid. here's a strip that I proposed to the Chronicle. I'm going to show you first the quotes that I got from famous people, part of the name-dropping quota of my show. So let's take a look at some quotes that I got before I show you the strip itself. I worked with Richard Lewis at Cobbs, and Richard, I took out the cursing for the Commonwealth Club, but basically, holy beep, it was hilarious. Continue, beep, beep. So Richard Lewis saw that. I gave him my comic, and that was what he wrote back to me, and I'm using it in the book. Brad Keston, who was the voice of Charlie Brown for the ABC animated specials, wrote, a wasteful and disgusting reading experience. I've read them all 3 times, just to be sure. It's a strip that I call Peanuts, featuring good old Chubby Brown. Let's take a look. So he's, he's a penis-headed kid. Some people think that I drink too much coffee, but to be honest, I drink coffee because it goes so well with a cigarette. And the smokes help me relax when I gamble, but I'm trying to ease up on the gambling. But let's face it, hookers are expensive, so you have to try to break even. So, yeah, I drink a lot of coffee. My friends have been telling me how healthy and fit I'm looking these days. I attribute this to one thing mostly. I go to the farmer's market every weekend, but not for the produce. It does my heart good to see the braless hippie chick squeezing the produce. What is it, Chubby? What's wrong? Oh, this is his partner, Spearmint Sassy. What is it, Chubby? What's wrong? Was it all the liquor at the concert? Could it be the stranger's dubious hash during the encore? Was it the prescription pills that you stole from your aunt or the ones that you found on the bus? Chubby, let's see how this one goes. Hey, folks, don't forget to, you can really wrap it up big with this one because this is really... Chubby, I'm impressed by your wine expertise. This is simply delicious. Of course it's good. I helped to make it. The grapes are stomped by an elite team of hairy-legged angry lesbians from Berkeley. Their feet release more juice than any other process. What exactly is your role in the process? I make them angry. So that's Chubby Brown. Thank you. Round of applause. Who wants their money back now? One of the highlights of my comedy career, on a very serious note, my foremost inspiration is Dan Ferraro. He does a strip called Bizarro. A lot of you have seen it in the Chronicle. It runs here in about like 300 papers around the U.S., and then I've seen it. It's in other countries. I met Dan at the Cartoon Art Museum, and he's the nicest man on earth. And actually, I asked him if I could meet with him sometime to discuss doing a tour. He also does stand-up, and I said, Dan, I have a production background, and I'd love to open for you if you ever do some more shows. And, okay, I live in Brooklyn. If you're ever back in New York visiting your family, come see me. I was so nervous to meet him. Even though I'd met him at the museum, I was so nervous to actually go meet him and talk to him where it wasn't a big group of people. I called a buddy of mine. He's a cartoonist here. I woke him up. I'm like, I'm outside of Dan Ferraro's apartment. He's like, what does it look like? It's just a door with a buzzer. What are you going to do? I'm going to talk to him. All right, keep the phone close. I want to hear. You know, we were in awe of this guy. He's my favorite. And so Dan and I did a stand-up comedy tour. It was a bushwhacking tour, and we eventually collaborated on close to 30 cartoons. So these are the food cartoons that we've come up with together. Dan drew them. He very kindly gives me the original art. I have a big book of all the original art, and he adds my name to it. So this is actually a little caricature. It's me, and that's Dan. And these are our food cartoons. We'll act out your premise for food. He's a cartoon panhandler. You saw it? You remember it? Spelled Capozzola correctly, which no one ever does. Say what you will about eating children. It adheres to the Atkins diet. Look, I told you before, boss. No more capers. What are they anyway? Like tiny olives with pimentos? Tiny olives without pimentos. Goes back 8 years. I didn't get any money, but my molar is wrapped in gauze. It's a visit from the tooth pharaoh. Who saw the Tut exhibit? Anybody go to the Tut exhibit? Who else was shocked and appalled that what it didn't feature was Tut himself? The death mask, the sarcophagus, the mummy, not there. They had everything but. It was a very cool exhibit. When you get to the end, you're like, where's Tut? Where's the death mask? Where are the goods that they used to promote the show? I was on the way over. I was discussing, you know, the guys who got, the tiger attack at the zoo and they were mauled. I thought it'd be so funny if they wound up goofing around at the Tut exhibit and they wound up getting an ancient Egyptian curse. Like, oh, they've done it again. They've gotten a curse at the Tut exhibit. Pretty Boy Floyd. I've read two books about Pretty Boy Floyd. This man risked his life for his mother's homemade vinegar pie. It's delicious stuff. You can look it up on the internet. It's a real pie. It's a little tangy. But Floyd would risk capture. They would get word to Mrs. Floyd, you know, Charlie's coming home soon. And she would bake a pie for him. He would risk capture, meaning death, frankly. They're not going to – you have to come quietly this time. He risked death and capture for his mom's pie. I thought it was pretty cool. I just wanted to bring it up. Like some people, you know, you do anything like, oh, it's to die for. Pretty Boy Floyd would risk his life for his mom's pie. The Pillsbury Doughboy, this is a very – I just want to say my grandmother, who I miss very, very dearly, she had this – do we have any doctors you could say if it's like a parasympathetic reaction, autonomic? But when she saw him on TV, like – you know when they in the ads, they're like – they'd poke him in the stomach and he'd make that little noise like that. She would giggle. It's like as if she was getting poked in the stomach like It was adorable. Eventually, she had to go for managed care in a nursing home. And I was on a flight. I sat next to this woman, and we're talking. She's like, "What do you do?" "Oh, I'm a comedian. I'm a cartoonist." "And what do you do?" She's like, "Oh, I do PR for Pillsbury." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" And I told her about my grandma. And then she had this satchel full of little Pillsbury Doughboy dolls, and she gave me one. She's like, "Give this to your grandmother." And I brought it, and I sat by her bed. I'm like, "Nanny, you're not going to believe this. I sat next to a woman who works for Pillsbury, and she gave you this." And she had it in her room. You know, for like a year. It was pretty funny. The Pillsbury I thought we should end on a productive note. And essentially, No more of the sarcasm and stuff. They say that it's a good idea to build a disaster preparedness kit, but there's one thing that people leave out of the kit every single time. They forget to pack one very important thing in the disaster preparedness kit, and I thought we should discuss it very quickly. Ma'am, you look very brainy. You have glasses. What do you think they forget to put in the disaster preparedness kit? Food. No, that's a good guess. That's smart. What else? Anybody? What else? Toilet paper. That's usually in with the liquor and the gun. No. Pet food. They forget to put in pet food because when the human food runs out, you're going to want to eat the small animal. You don't want any lean cuisine. You want a fat cat. So pet food. You can shrivel your nose at the joke, but it destroyed the Michael Vick legal defense fundraiser. It just killed. It's really – and it's also a handy way to tell you about my upcoming book, 101 Dalmatian Recipes. Oh, my God, it's the end of the show. Special thanks to Kathy Curtis and the Commonwealth Club and the American Alliance for Alliteration. K-Fog gave us a mention today. The Cartoon Art Museum did. And one more time, please, for the delicious food of the Noe Valley Bakery. Yeah. Whoop. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Do you guys have any questions? Because this really is the end of the show. Otherwise, I was just going to say thank you and good night. It's hot in here. I know that. I'm hotter than you are because there's a spotlight and I'm wearing 8 layers. But do we have any questions before I go? Ma'am, you were dozing. Did you want me to recap anything that you – I don't think I didn't see you yawning half the night. Even during Chubby Brown, frankly, you were yawning. So that was – I was happy that you weren't howling at me, but you were just yawning, and that was better. I'll take yawning over like, I hate him. I hate him. So that was – I appreciate that. But if you want me to recap anything, let me know. Yeah, you know. I saw you yawning a lot. Do you have anybody have any questions? Anything before I go? I'm sorry? Do I have any books out yet? It's funny you should mention that. I did bring books, but I can't sell them to you tonight. So and I wanted to because really the funds go to help the it's for needed medicines in my village. I live in Laurel Village and the pharmacy closes very early, and I like to stock up on stuff. So, but no, I do have books. Can I just mention this? Not far from here is the Cartoon Art Museum. They have my books, my magnets, greeting cards. If you ever want to go see a wonderful museum and support a good cause, me being the good cause, you can go to the Cartoon Art Museum and they've got all my stuff in the bookstore there. Thanks for asking. You would think she's a plant with such an important question, but no. Am I right? We have not met. I don't know your name. You've never seen me before. I'm not going to saw you in half or anything, but I just, you know, we. Any questions? Yes. Yes, it's I was going to say, it's capozzola.com, spelled like it sounds. But, yeah, if you can figure out how to spell it, you can reach me at capozzola.com. It's C-A-P-O-Z-Z-O-L-A, like pizza, two Zs. I have cards. Actually, folks, at the for free over there, I have postcards of my strip, some slips of – I did some Star Wars paintings, and they're also at the Cartoon Art Museum, and then business cards. And I do kids' parties. No, I'm just kidding. But, yes, the gentleman in the back, the Al Franken stunt double, you had a question. I should, shouldn't I? I should. I was on a cable show, but I was interviewed, but I don't. It's not my show. I've been on 2 cable access shows, each one funnier than the next. But no, that I'm not on a cable show. But if you want to talk about putting me on a cable show, well, you guys have been so, really. I've said it before, but it's so much fun. Such a very cool crowd. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. I appreciate it. Take care, guys. Bye bye.